All right, Katie is up with our scripture for today, which you've already gotten a good hint. You can put that wherever you need it.
After Pastor Vicky mentioned the pictures, my mom leaned over to me and said, "You got lucky that you didn't have that slideshow that Pastor Vicky puts up for the graduates at the end of their senior year." So, oh, wait, no. I did too. All right, today's scripture reading is Luke 13, 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you to desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be suitable and acceptable to you, Lord, wherever we are worshiping this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to start today's sermon out with a story. A small child, not even old enough to go to school yet, went to one of those amusement parks and went where there was those mirrored maze things. Yeah, I tell you, I can't tell you how many glasses I've scratched and broken and gotten crooked because I've gone into those and banged right into the mirror. So she's walking around in there, and suddenly her dad realizes that she is not by him. And he hears her, and she's beginning to cry because she's afraid. And she becomes increasingly confused and because she doesn't know where to go. And then her dad calls out to her and says, "It's okay, honey, don't cry. She says, just put your hands out. Put your hands out and just kind of reach all around." He said, "You'll find the door. Just listen for my voice." And as he spoke, the little girl became calm. She stopped crying. And soon she found her way out, and she ran into the security of her dad's outstretched arms. Does that sound like a familiar story? God's voice, my friends, is calling us. Calling us from the confusion of the maze that our world has become. God is waiting for us to reach his outstretched arms. God is calling us through Jesus. And we hear as God calls us because he's yearning for us to come back. He's yearning for us to come back to his heart. He yearns for a time when we will be with him again. The time when the relationship between God and his creation will be perfect once more. He's waiting for a time when all will be right between us and God. As Jesus laments for Jerusalem in the gospel reading that Katie read this morning, he says, "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you." Jesus is expressing in that lesson that yearning that God has for us. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Can you imagine the ache in God's heart for us? The hurt as he wants us to be the way we were when we were made, and to be in good relationship with him again. Jesus continues to say, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood of chicks under her wings, and that yet you would not. Jesus is lamenting that God has tried to bring creation back again and again and again, to bring the fallen creation back to God. From Noah to Jesus, how many times? He's tried all kinds of manner to make the relationship between God and us right again. Tried through Noah and the flood. That didn't work. Well, it worked for a while. He tried through Moses and the prophets. He tried through the judges, like Deborah. He's tried in all kinds of ways to make the relationship between God and his people right. Because God has tried to win us back, to persuade us to be a people who want to come back to him. Through the history of the Old Testament, God worked with the people of Israel, trying to win them over. Did it work? No. It was to no avail. That's what Jesus says in the text, and you just wouldn't let me gather you in. You know, that's why God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus to reconcile us, to bring us as humankind back to God. Because what humankind would not and could not do for itself, God did. That's the great news. The great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God decided that humans would not be won back. So he decided in Jesus. And in Jesus, he gave us as human beings the gift of salvation. He decided that humans would surely accept a free gift. Wouldn't we? A gift that we didn't have to earn? A gift that we didn't have to work for? All we have to do is accept the gift by faith. Sounds easy. And you know, humankind, we're into easy. God's heart longs for us. He longs for us to trust. Longs for us to believe in him. But yet we're reluctant. So God decided that if he came among his people, if he walked with his people, if he told them as one of them about this great love that God had for them, that maybe they would listen, just maybe they would listen. Maybe they would understand better how he longed to have that right relationship with them. So God became flesh and lived among us. He walks with us. He hurts with us. He teaches us. And he pleads with us. Come home. Come back. I want to tell you another story. I think God is like the ruler in this story. A long, long time ago, in a land far away called Persia, there was a wise and good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. So often he would dress as a working person, or maybe even a beggar. And he would go to the homes of the poor. No one whom he had visited could possibly imagine that he was the king. One time he was visiting a very poor man who lived down in the basement. He ate coarse food, and so the king ate the coarse food that the man ate. And he spoke cheerful, kind words to him. And when he left, he came back and he visited the poor man again. But this time, This time he disclosed his identity. He said, "I am your king." The king thought the man would surely ask for some gift or favor because that was the expectation. But he didn't. Instead, this time, the man said to him, "King, you left your palace. You left your glory to come and visit with me in this dark, stinky basement. You ate the coarse food that I ate, and you brought gladness to my heart. To others, you have given rich gifts. But to me, you have given yourself." Friends, this is the way Jesus came to us. He came disguised as a lowly man, but brought to us so much. He met our every need. There's truly a wonderment about God. He does all he can to bring the relationship between himself and his people into the right order. He comes to earth. He walks with his people. He's raised from the dead for his people. And he gives them that free gift of salvation, offered without price. And he gives them a free choice to take and accept that gift or to leave it and walk away. If he went through all of this for a certain group of people, we would demand that they take the gift, but not God. He places that gift of salvation in our hearts. And then he says, "You may believe these promises I have made for you, or you may not. That is your choice." Because you see, one of the ways I always describe Jesus is he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon us. He doesn't say, "You've got to believe." You may believe or you may not. The choice is yours. Because you see, God is telling us that he has already done all the work of bringing his creation and himself back together. He knew he could not woo us back, but he knew he could, through Jesus, bring us back by punishing Jesus for our sins and making our relationship right again. When we come to the communion table, we need to come knowing that the heart of God is present in and through the bread and wine, and that God wants us to accept that gift of salvation. Sometimes it's hard for us. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to accept that gift. And that's what we're doing during the season of Lent as we journey. We're picking up these little things, these little hints. You know, Jesus said to them, "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how I long to gather you under my wings, but you choose not. And you can't come to me until I die." He's giving them hints of what's going to happen. But my friends, we already know the story. We know the end of the story. But now is our time to walk through this journey with Jesus, to hear these scriptures that are being shared every week leading up to Holy Week, and then to follow Jesus on those 3 days. We go from death to resurrection. That's our gift. That's our free gift. Because Jesus paid the price for us. So as we continue on this journey, I want you to remember that. It's a free gift. Especially us in America, we like free stuff. So let's embrace that free gift. Let's make that choice to accept what Christ has offered us. Because when we do that, it opens up something that we can't even possibly even imagine. How our lives can be changed and transformed. I talked with a group of lay folks that are honing some of their preaching skills yesterday, and we talked about the fact that we always have to be sharing. What difference does it make? You know, I can stand up here all the time. You know, maybe you're sitting there saying, well, so what? Does it make a difference? It makes a difference. I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I could curl your hair with some stories I could tell you. But I'm not. My life has been changed. My life was changed the minute my life was on this trajectory from the time I was baptized, because that's what we believe. But my life changed the minute that I said, yes, I accept this free offer that you have for me, Jesus. You've changed my life. That's available to you if you just allow it. We only go so far, and then we say, whoop, yep, that's it. That's it. I can do this. I can go this far. I can, you know. But I really don't want to change that much. This is the time. How many days are left in Lent, Mike? You know? That's a good sign. You've stopped counting. That's good. Mike's given up some stuff that's been tough to give up, and so he's the one who came to me and said, it isn't 40 days, it's really 46. So friends, open yourselves up. Allow Jesus to gather you in. Come home. Come home. Jesus loves you more than you could possibly imagine. He loved you enough to separate his arms and to die on a cross for you, so that you could get your sins forgiven for free. He paid the price. Open your hearts, my friends, and come home. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. We get so busy sometimes, Lord, we forget. We forget who we are. We forget whose we are. We forget that we were called to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes we focus too much on us, but today, Lord, I'm asking everybody to focus on themselves right now and to let go and to allow all of us to be gathered in by you, brought under the shelter of your love. Lord, here we are. Gather us in. Help us to feel your love and your presence. Help us to walk this journey with you. In your name we pray. Amen.